All right, so now that NAR has settled this lawsuit, well, I want to really get into what I believe will be the implications of this industry as we move forward. I've had just tons of people reach out to me to say, hey, what does this mean for us? What do you believe this will mean for the industry moving forward? And obviously, this is a huge, huge moment inside of the real estate industry. So there's a ton to cover. And so what I'm going to do is I spent the last couple of days letting this kind of digest. I have gone through the settlement word for word for the last couple of days. I'm first going to pull out what I believe to be the most important parts of that settlement, share that with you guys. And then what I'd like to do is I've broken everything out into eight different main implications that I believe we'll have to consider as we move forward. And I'll break down all eight of those. I'll break down what I believe, what I'm calling the consumer awareness versus the industry awareness. I'll break down the true winners and losers of the settlement. I'll break down the implications of buyers, sellers, agents, teams, different real estate companies that have a major dependent on buyer agent commissions. I'll give you my thoughts on how I see that moving forward. And then at the end, I'm going to walk you guys through what I believe is going to happen as a result of this major news that we all just got presented with. So why don't we start off with some of the main key points of the settlement, all right? So I'm going to share this with you guys, and then I'll break the whole thing down. All right, so this is all right directly from the settlement statement itself. So it says, NAR and plaintiffs have reached a proposed settlement agreement that would end litigation of claims brought on behalf of home sellers related to broker commissions. The agreement would resolve claims against NAR, over 1 million NAR members, all state tutorial and local realtor associations, all association-owned MLSs, and all brokerages with NAR member as principal that had a residential real estate transaction volume in 2022 of $2 billion or below. That's a major, major part. We'll talk about that. The settlement is subject to court approval, of course. Ultimately, we believe this was the best outcome we could achieve in the circumstances. The large settlement that other corporate defenders have. So that was part one, all right? So this whole thing around who's protected based on the settlement and who is not protected, I'm going to talk a lot about that today. The second piece that I pulled out was when the settlement went on to say this. Brokerage entities owned by members that had a residential transaction volume of $2 billion or below are all released from liability nationwide. While we would have preferred to protect all industry players, ultimately, NAR could not persuade the plaintiffs to include the largest brokerages. The agreement provides a mechanism for nearly all brokerage entities that had a transaction count or transaction volume rather in 2022 that exceeded $2 billion to obtain releases efficiently if they choose to use it. Next, here's another really important part. We were able to retain the right of consumers to continue to have cooperating compensation as an option so long as they pursue an off-market or off-MLS transaction through negotiation and consultation with real estate professionals. NAR has agreed to put in place a new rule prohibiting offers of compensation inside of the MLS that will go into effect in mid-July 2024. All right, a couple other things that I want to add, and then we'll jump into this thing. So the statement went on to say, there will continue to be many ways in which buyer brokers could be compensated, which I'm going to outline a lot of that later in this episode, including through offers of compensation communicated off the MLS. The statement talked a lot about these off-market opportunities. As we have long believed that this is in the interest of the sellers, buyers, and their brokers to make offers of compensation, but using the MLS to communicate offers of compensation would no longer be an option. As of July, that will be gone. No longer can an agent offer to compensate a buyer's agent inside of the MLS to bring a buyer or having any cooperation and compensation. The types of compensation available for buyer brokers would continue to take multiple forms, depending on broker-consumer negotiations, included but not limited to a fixed fee, commission paid directly by the consumer, concessions from the seller, a portion of the listing broker's compensation. Compensation would continue to be negotiable and should always be negotiated between agents and the consumers they serve. Implications for home buyers and sellers. This settlement would preserve the choices consumers have regarding real estate services and compensation. After the new rule goes into effect, listing brokers, sellers can continue to offer compensation for buyer broker services, but such offers cannot be communicated via the MLS. The settlement expressly provides that sellers may communicate seller concessions, such as buyer closing costs, via the MLS, provided that they are concessions and not conditioned to use of the payment of buyer broker. So that's a really, really key point of the settlement. And so essentially what it's saying is that with inside of the settlement, that sellers and listing agents can use the MLS to communicate seller concessions as long as it is not specifically worded in such a way that it's going to be used for buyer agent commission. That is prohibited. And as of July, it appears that that will no longer be allowed. Lastly, NAR has long encouraged its members, real estate realtors, to use written agreements because they help consumers understand exactly what services and value will be provided and for how much. The settlement provides that MLS participants working with buyers must enter into a written representation agreement with those buyers before showings. This change will go into effect in mid-July. All right, so those are the major pieces of the settlement. So what does that all mean? All right, we're going to really break this down into great detail. But just to recap that, make it real simple. Number one, as of July, no longer can a listing agent use the MLS to communicate that they are offering compensation to a buyer's agent to bring a buyer. Those days will be gone. It also stipulates, however, that with inside of the MLS, sellers and listing agents can, however, communicate if the seller is willing to offer some type of seller concession. That's been, you know, an option for years and years and years and years. That can be communicated. And then it was interesting that the settlement also excluded off-market deals or off-market listings where the seller could do essentially whatever they wanted. They could offer buyer agent compensation to a buyer's agent as long as that listing was not in the MLS. So that's what they called an off-MLS or off-market deal. So I want to talk about how I see that playing out here in what I'm calling the new market. So let's first off talk about, again, there's eight different implications. And I want to start off by talking about the first one, which is consumer awareness versus industry awareness. So here's really what I mean, all right? So I'll make this so you guys can see this. Okay. Obviously, this is going to have a major, major impact in how real estate is done for moving forward, right? We all understand that, and we're still trying to understand really what that means. So this is just kind of how I see it. It's just my opinion. There's thousands of different opinions on what people believe will, how things will turn out as a result. But here's the thing. The consumer's awareness around how real estate commissions right now, how they actually work, is in fact very, very low. It's very low. I mean, this is what this lawsuit is all about. You see, it's the sellers that didn't even know how commissions worked in the first place, which is why we got here. So number one, it's up to us moving forward on how we're going to educate the consumer on their options and the pros and cons of each of those options, right? So the consumers most likely aren't going to come to an appointment and say, okay, now, Mr. Realtor, based on the settlement that NAR just did, you know, we're not going to offer a buyer agent commission. They're not going to do that. Their awareness of how real estate commissions work is very, very, very low. And so what is the point? The point is that based on this first implication, is this information is running rampant through the industry, but the everyday buyer and seller has very, very low awareness around what is going on. And so the point is that conversation with a buyer or a seller will most likely not be that different than how your appointments go today, in that it's up to you, it's our job to provide clarity in that communication of how to navigate the market. That is why they would need a professional. In other words, the seller doesn't come into a listing appointment when they decide to list their house with a real estate professional and understand exactly all the nuance and the cost of selling and who pays for what and who charges what and who pays for. They don't have that awareness until they meet with a professional who walks them through it, right? And so even with this news, as big as it is, obviously it's going to have a major impact. We still have to communicate that to the consumer. That's number one. And then number two, we have to make sure that we, the real estate professionals, don't make matters worse because of maybe a lack of emotional intelligence. And so in other words, what I mean by that is because this is major news, that we real estate professionals don't go into the marketplace and make matters worse by creating unnecessary chaos with inside of the consumers that we are serving. It's our jobs to be the professional, to show up, to navigate this already very stressful transaction for consumers and navigate what is in their best interest. And it's our job to present them with all of their options. That is our job. And so what we can't do is get into a world where we make matters worse because we have maybe low emotional intelligence. And maybe because a lot of agents I'm seeing are freaking out. They're panicking. They're freaking out. Does this mean real estate agents are going away? Will we become obsolete? What does all of this mean? Well, by the end of this conversation, I believe that, well, at least from my opinion, I hope to bring you some clarity. All right. So that's the first thing to consider. The second thing to consider is I want to look at who are the real winners and losers of this settlement. I believe that this is a really important point. You see, the winners of this settlement are not the so-called harmed sellers named in this lawsuit. You see, they're going to get pennies. They're going to get pennies, which is super interesting. Because if this whole thing was to protect the so-called harmed sellers, maybe the outcome would have been a little different. The winners of this settlement is the plaintiff's attorneys and the DOJ. You see, the real estate industry is a massive, massive industry. And most of these agencies have a magnifying glass, whether it be the mortgage industry, the title industry, the real estate industry, the car industry, the financial services industry. You see, these agencies like the DOJ are put into place to scrutinize these large, large, large industries. And they believe that this is for the greater good of the people, that this will in turn, you know, save millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and make housing affordability better in this country. That is what they believe. Now, whether that is true or not is yet to be determined. Obviously, there's arguments on both sides of that, right? That's what this whole thing is about. There's a ton of people, millions of people, who believe that this settlement will be worse for the consumer. Well, time will tell. The losers in this settlement, however, for sure, based on what I see, are the buyers and the real estate industry. The real estate industry is going to lose billions of dollars in revenue, in lost revenue, because of the way that buyer agency compensation is now going to be structured in this country. This industry is set to lose billions and billions and billions of dollars. That is going to hurt a lot of people. And my belief is that also the buyers lose as a result of this settlement for reasons which I'm going to cover here in just a minute. And then what time will tell is if this is actually good or bad for sellers, and only time will tell. You see, on one hand, we will see commission compression. We're already seeing that without this lawsuit. So now with this lawsuit where buyer agent commission cannot even be offered inside of the MLS, I believe that commissions, listing commissions, will continue to trend downward, which will increase sellers' net. Okay, fine. That you can argue is better for the seller. On the other hand, however, what we don't know is how big of an impact will this have, because buyer agency is kind of not what it is today. And maybe these properties have a lack of exposure and the competition to drive demand for a property that is on the MLS isn't as high as it is right now, perhaps. Thus, potentially, sellers not able to sell their houses for as much as they are now. We just don't know. Time will tell. Time will tell. Again, the DOJ and the plaintiff's attorneys believe that, listen, sellers absolutely win here because as a result, they pay less in commission in theory, which will help them increase their net bottom line when they sell a home. Hey, I understand the argument. I get it. So let's move on to the next implication. Let's talk about buyers for a second and why I believe that buyers, will be on the losing end of this settlement. So here are a couple of questions that we have to ask, right? I don't have all the answers. I don't have a crystal ball. These are some of the questions that I have that time will tell. Number one, will buyers be willing to pay out of their pocket for buyer agent services? So in other words, if, again, I go back to what I said just a few minutes ago, most consumers, when they end up working with a buyer agent or a listing agent, they don't know how in which your services are going to be compensated. Certainly, I think it's even less clear on the buyer side than it is on the seller side. I think that most sellers understand that they're going to have to pay some type of real estate commission. But on the buy side, this is where all the problems are, in that the consumer is super unclear on who's paying for these services, how in which these services are being paid for. And now in this new world, the question that remains unanswered is, will buyers, if it comes down to it, will buyers be willing to increase their out-of-pocket expenses in order to purchase a home in this country? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. That's a question that will be answered here very, very soon. Some argue no chance. They'll just go directly to the listing agent. They're not going to pay for these services out of their pocket. Most buyers, when it comes to affordability, already can't afford a home. Where are they going to come up with another 2 or 3% on top of the sales price in order to compensate their agent out of their pocket? Because up until now, it's been the seller who's been paying that buyer's agent's fee for that buyer representation. In fact, I just did a quick poll on the YouTube channel and I interviewed all of you, or I put a poll out for all of you, and 753 of you have voted. And it was almost a 90-10 split, that 90% of you believe that buyers will go directly to the listing agent. And only a short number, or about 10% of you, think that buyers would be willing to pay this commission out of their pocket. Who knows, right? No one has a crystal ball. We can speculate. We can say, oh yes, I provide a ton of value to my buyers and they would be willing to, well, we don't know. It's all speculation at this point. That's one question. The other question is, if the buyers aren't willing to pay a buyer agent commission outside or out of their pocket rather, and they go to the seller, will the seller want or need to even offer seller concessions to sell their home? So it comes down to supply and demand. You know, there's a lot of people that would make the argument right now that no, sellers don't have to offer anything. And these buyers are already going to the listing agent. They're already going to the seller directly. That a seller would not have to offer any type of concession or any offer of compensation in order to sell their home. Well, maybe that's true in today's market where we have a massive inventory shortage and homes selling with multiple offers. Maybe that would be different if the market was different. But there's two sides of that equation. We just don't know yet. We don't know yet. The next question I thought about is, will buyers, again, end up just going to listing agents directly and proceed in the transaction without representation? Now, again, these are just questions. Don't get mad at me. I'm just posing the question. I don't know. Again, we see this happen, right? We see this happening so much already that I don't know why we would see this go down when offers of compensation in the MLS disappears. If anything, this is probably going to go up dramatically. If the home is the product and the buyer wants the product, and they have an option either to go through buyer agency and have to compensate potentially out of their pocket, or just go directly to the source who is representing the product in which they want to purchase, and they can save 2-3% of the sales price, what would a buyer do? Well, only time will tell. Most of us that have been in the industry right now already see this happening. This is not anything new. The other thing is that this will create what I believe a new hole in the market, and it's going to open up massive opportunities for new business models to emerge. I'm going to talk about that at the end. So that's my view of the landscape for buyers, or at least some things to consider. Let's talk about sellers on the other hand. So most likely, like I said before, sellers will ultimately win as a result of this settlement. Why? Well, because, again, most likely, I don't have a crystal ball, they probably will end up paying less and get the same level of service that they're already getting right now. When they hire a listing agent today and they pay that agent, I don't know, X, 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5%, whatever they pay, they're paying for the result, which is to get their property sold for the most amount of money in the right time frame with the least amount of headache, right? That's why they're hiring the service. Otherwise, they would just do it themselves. So the argument is, well, for a listing agent, they're still going to hire, most people will still hire a listing agent to market the property and help them navigate that home sale. And rather than paying historically 5, 5.5, 6%, because that listing agent is offering half of that to a buyer's agent, that commissions ultimately would go down as a result. That's number one. Number two, why sellers most likely will win as a result is they won't have opposing representation to negotiate against them. So in a world where buyer agent commission is rare, and in a world where buyers are going directly to the listing agent, the only agent involved perhaps would be the agent representing the seller. Now all of the sellers in this country no longer have opposing agents negotiating against them. That is a win for a seller. Sellers are probably able, they'll be able to drive the process. If only their agent is involved and buyers are going unrepresented, again, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying in a world like that, then the seller will most likely be able to call the shots. They'll be able to negotiate in a way where a buyer who's unrepresented that doesn't have a real estate professional that's representing them and their best interest really doesn't have a choice in the matter, right? They're outmanned, if you will. It's them versus the listing agent and the seller. So sellers, again, this is why I say most likely the sellers will win. Let's talk about agents and how I see this, the implications for us real estate agents. Okay, don't get mad. I just believe that we're going to lose hundreds of thousands of agents as a result of this settlement. And the reason why I believe that is this, that we're going to lose a lot of part-timers, which make up a large portion of licensees. In fact, almost 50% of all licensees haven't sold a house in the last 12 months, and the average agent only sells 4 to 5 houses. That's not enough to live full-time on, so we know the vast majority of real estate agents who are licensed are part-time agents. Well, when we look at those part-time agents and we start to say, okay, where's their business coming from? This is mainly coming from working with buyers where they show some property to and they get compensated from the seller, from that listing agent. Well, in a world where that doesn't exist, it will be very, very difficult for somebody that's in this business to continue to pay their fees, pay their dues, pay all the expenses to the MLS, pay their dues to the association, keep up with all of their professional standards if it's very rare for them to get a buyer agent commission. When they're not out there securing listings, they're just mainly focused on friends and family. And the way they made it work, where they make their 30, 40K a year, was offer all from buyer agent commission. Well, if that is a thing of the past and they're not able to secure that, I believe you'll see agent count drop dramatically. It will most likely become what I'm calling a professional's business, where in order to be in this business, for it to make any sense anyway, that it'd be full-time, this would be a full-time profession. And most other agents will end up probably working on teams or for top listing agents, which is the next point, that agents will have to focus all of their energy on securing listings and building the inventory of a product, because this is the only tangible value agents will bring to the marketplace. So rather than this be a world where you can be in this business and not have to actually secure any of the product that's being sold, I think those days will perhaps be behind us. And the agents that actually excel in this new world will be those that focus on listings. This is why we've, from a business model, we've been focused so heavily on helping agents become listing agents. And that is because we believe that the agent who holds the inventory is the one who's bringing tangible value to the marketplace. And those agents will excel in this new world. They'll grow market share, have less competition, and potentially have a lot of the other agents working for them in a capacity that I'll discuss in just a minute. So let's talk about those teams. First off, I think that teams as we know it right now will be massively disrupted. And the reason why I believe that is because if you look at how most of these teams are structured, most of these teams are heavily, heavily dependent on purchasing buyer internet leads to supply their agents. And when that is no longer viable to drive revenue, a lot of these teams will either have to A, disperse, or B, they'll have to shift their entire model over to getting listings. And that is a completely different skill set, a completely different skill set than just giving one of these portals your credit card and they go out there and just start giving you leads that you give to your agents. It's a completely different skill set. And I think a lot of these teams, I've been trying to talk to a lot of them about this, that, and I don't know if they are avoiding the conversation or avoiding the inevitable, they're going to have to shift this model in order to survive. They're going to have to shift to a listing model. That's going to be a huge shift in the market. The other thing is that I've been talking about for years is this new team model, which is where you have a dominant listing agent who employs a team to service their listing business. So a lot of people say, well, Brandon, if there are no buyer agent or buyer agent commissions are scarce and it's rare, then the listing agent is going to have to do a lot more work. Well, potentially, yeah, that might be the case. However, if you have far fewer number of agents in the marketplace, and these agents pick up market share, which I believe to be the case, if you have, you know, a 50% reduction in realtor count, maybe more, I don't know, then these listing agents or these listing teams pick up so much more market share that they can bring on staff to handle the servicing of the listings, which would be things like open houses, doing showings for buyers, right? Because in a world where buyer agency is not as common, who's going to show all these properties? Well, listing agents will employ other agents who can't secure their own business on their teams. These servicing agents will potentially be writing offers for unrepresented buyers, etc. this is what I believe the new team model will look like. That these teams will, the good teams will be heavily listing focused, and they'll have a service-based team of licensed agents who service those listings. And that's what I believe teams will look like moving forward, because the teams of today who are 80, 90% buyer lead heavy, most of their business just comes from internet leads on the buy side, they're going to be in trouble. And I'll talk about why that is in just a second. Let's talk about it, and you'll see why. So I want to walk you through these business models out there that are buyer agent dependent models. I mean, the biggest one, as we know every single day, is Zillow, right? So if you look at Zillow stock, it's just, it went down like crazy. Well, why? Well, because their entire monetization schedule is all based on buyer agent commission. And so with that being at threat right now, again, I would imagine that companies like Zillow and Realtor.com and Rocket Homes and these large teams and Referral Exchange, all these companies that monetize the buyer agent commission as their primary source of revenue, I mean, they're going to have to shift their model dramatically. I don't know if you've thought about that, but that is a huge monumental shift in how things can look moving forward. And some of the things I've thought about is, you know, I could see companies like Realtor.com or Zillow charging to promote listings as a way to drive revenue. They've already gained the eyeballs of all the consumers. Everybody goes there to search for listings anyway. Well, maybe that's a monetization avenue for them. Maybe they start to offer listing services. They already have. Maybe these companies that have been testing these listing services for a flat fee or for a discounted rate, maybe they go all in on that, and that becoming their primary source of revenue. But something would have to change. If 80, 90% of the revenue comes via a buyer agent commission referral fees, and that essentially one day disappears, they're going to have to do something in order to survive, right? I think that makes sense. So here's what I believe will happen as a result. Number one, I think that MLSs and associations are going to be hard-pressed to provide real value to agents. Well, why do I say that? Think about this for a second. If the value you have as a real estate agent with an association or an MLS is you put in your listing, it syndicates out to all of these third-party marketing portals, and you have all these agents out there working on your behalf to sell your listing because they're getting compensation offered to them. If that disappears, well, what value would the MLS have? In other words, if the MLS's sole purpose is to display your listing to every agent out there that might have a potential buyer, and that potentially, that avenue losing its value because those agents don't get paid anything in this new world, perhaps, well, what value would there be other than the MLS syndicating your listing to other marketing channels? What other value would there be? And if those portals are syndicating because they get paid revenue based off that buyer agent commission, which platforms are going to be syndicated in that world? Again, these are just questions that I have in my mind on how this is all going to go. The entire infrastructure and the way that real estate will take place could be completely different in just 3 months from now. So these MLSs and associations, they're going to have to do something dramatically different in order to keep getting these fees. That's number one. Number two, I believe that as a result of this settlement, result of this news, that new business models are going to emerge quickly. And someone's going to crack the code of doing real estate in a completely new way, and that becoming the standard on how real estate is done in this country. This shakeup has been coming for years. There's been people coming after this industry for years. And so I believe that new models will emerge. There'll be things like buyer concierge services, where companies will have licensed agents over the phone, call centers, and they'll all be licensed, and you hire one of these services for a flat fee, and they walk you through the process to make sure you know exactly what's going on, that you don't get taken advantage of. And that is an affordable way for a buyer to purchase a home. Hey, I'm just giving you something to consider. I think that large brokerages, as a result of the settlement where they say, hey, if this is an off market or off MLS, this is why I go back to number one, MLSs are going to have a tough time providing value if you can't offer a buyer agent commission, which we can't starting in July. But you can offer a buyer agent commission if you don't use the MLS, which is an incentive for why I believe large brokerages will most likely create their own listing marketplace. Well, what does that mean? Well, think about it. If you have these large national companies that have hundreds of thousands of active listings where they can, by law, market their own listings to their own agents by offering a buyer agent commission, might create their own marketplace. Right? Again, just a thought that I've had. If that was an exclusion in the settlement, why wouldn't companies do this? To say, hey, we've got this listing. This is the only thing of value in the marketplace. We can market this any way we want if we don't use the MLS. We could do whatever we want. We can offer buyer agent commission. We could do whatever we want. Then they might just say, well, the heck with using the MLS. We have the listing. The buyer wants the listing. We could do whatever we want with this. We'll just create our own online marketplace and be able to market this thing any way we want off MLS, potentially. I'm just coming up with ideas. And there's going to be a lot of other new models that are introduced to the market, new marketplaces out there. And so the MLSs, I think, are going to be really challenged. That's number two. Number three, I think that NAR, in addition to just associations and MLSs, are going to be faced with new competitors. I mean, they have been going through a lot lately, right? Change of leadership, and you know all the rest. So I think a lot more competitors for agents to join to get value is going to be different. Number four, I believe that there's going to be a lot more off-market deals, that the way in which we do real estate today will be a lot like other countries do real estate. And I think that a lot of this is where I think a lot of agents that are savvy business entrepreneurs will exceed in this, will succeed, I should say, or surpass or grow their business because of what they potentially could do off-market. Building off-market inventory and going out there and playing matchmaker of, hey, I've got all this listing inventory. This is my own listing inventory that I'm not putting inside of the MLS. I'm going to market it at a different channel to my own buyer pool of potential buyers. And we'll just bring those people together playing matchmaker. I mean, this is what the consumers want us to do anyways, right? Number five, I already talked about this. I believe there's going to be a lot less agents moving forward. Number six, I believe that top listing agents are going to grow and expand their market share. They'll do more transactions, generate more revenue as a result of this. Number seven, I think that small brokers without large listing inventories are going to struggle to stay alive, including these teams that depend heavily on buyer agent commissions. They're going to have to shift dramatically. Number eight, I believe that listings will remain the name of the game as they have always been and they always will be. And they will become the number one source of lead generation. Well, why do I say that? Imagine you have a listing and all of the buyers now in this new world, perhaps all come to you. And as a result, a lot of those buyers have to also sell their house. How much opportunity you will get when you actually have a listing. Because all the consumers, rather than going through buyer agency, maybe a lot of them go directly to listing agents. And so the number of opportunities or number of prospects you'll be able to talk to, I think will increase dramatically. And then number nine, I just don't believe that home prices are going to be affected anyway by this. Home prices are driven by supply and demand, not by real estate commissions. And so those are my thoughts. Obviously, I'd love to hear yours. We're going to have a lot of this. We're going to see. Everyone's speculating. Everyone's got an opinion. I just wanted to come out here and communicate kind of my thoughts and how I see things. This is just my opinion. I don't know what I don't know. Time will tell. Obviously, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Big news. We'll have to see. Obviously, with big change comes big opportunity for those that see it that way. Unfortunately, what I see a lot of is just a lot of people freaking out, quite frankly. A lot of agents that are worried. This is doom and gloom. And that's another way to look at it, right? And that's like anything in life. How do you respond to this will determine what your future looks like.